time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
Have you ever woken up from a night of sleep with just vivid, lucid dreams, and you woke up and the first question you ask yourself is, wait, did that really happen? Was that true or did I dream that? You ever had that kind of experience? You know, that I feel like that's kind of the world we're living in sometimes. You know, we look at what's going on in the world and we go, wait a minute, that's really happening? This is so unbelievable at what's going on in our world today. And there are so many crazy, out-of-the-box things that you could never think about. I mean, think about 30 years ago, if you had told me or if someone had told you that that tens of thousands of people all across the world were going to start imagining themselves to be something other than they are. They're going to imagine themselves to be a woman or a man, you know, if you're a woman. And we would have said, no, humanity will never get to that point. No one would ever accept that, at least, you know. But, you know, today, major corporations are making major stands for the trans community, that type of thing. And let me be clear, God made us male or female, and that's it. Those are the only two options. And if you are thinking that you're something that you're not, it's just as if you think that you're a frog or a dog or a leopard or a bookshelf or whatever. If you're thinking something that you're not, something's very wrong with your thinking. And, you know, you can get help for that, and you need help for that. And this doesn't mean that you're not a real person. Doesn't mean you're not a valuable person, because you are very valuable to God. But it just means you have fallen prey to a type of thinking that is diluting and creating an illusion in your mind of what reality really is. Now, that doesn't mean that your hormones are not screaming that your thoughts are not screaming that, your emotions are not screaming that you're somebody else. You know, I understand the validity of all that, but even so, it's like being at the dentist's office when you're under Novocaine or under happy gas or whatever. You think things that aren't true. And when you come off of that gas, you come out of the Novocaine, all of a sudden things go back to normal. And people need healing from that. And I want to say something about what God says, you know, in the future. You know, Scripture tells us that in the last days there will be a great delusion that's coming. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, says there's coming a great delusion that will come upon the whole earth. And I believe that delusion directly relates to the Antichrist and him claiming to be God. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says that when we remove God from the context of our life and our sexuality, it results in us being ruled by our own thoughts, our own passions. And that's one of the signs of the last days. In fact, Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, beginning of verse 1, he says, realize this, that in the last days men will be lovers of self, without self-control, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And the word he uses there, lovers of pleasure, basically he combines two Greek words, phileo, which is a word for love, and the word that we get our word hedonism from, or the belief that pleasure is the highest good that man can achieve. In other words, if it feels good, or it personally gives me pleasure, or it pleases me, I will pursue it and enjoy it. It will become part of my identity. Therefore, it must be good. And so Paul is saying that in the last days, self-pleasing, self-pleasure will rule the minds and actions of those in culture, leading to every variation of immorality, specifically homosexual relationships that attempt to mimic God's male-female relationships, his design for humanity. They imitate creation's model, substituting biblical intimacy with a counterfeit experience. And right now, there is a huge move in psychiatric circles and among the LGBT community to destigmatize and decriminalize pedophilia. Pedophilia is now being touted as a legitimate sexual orientation, just like homosexuality or, you know, lesbianism. Hey, we just happen to be attracted to kids, and that's our attraction. Now, some will say, well, we never act on it or whatever, but it's still legitimate. And they're called MAPS, minor attracted persons. And so watch for that on the horizon. It's already happening. Now, let me say a couple of things before I wrap up this this little three-part series on this. There's a lot of reasons why people experiment with sexuality or why they feel what they feel about their sexuality, okay? There are cultural reasons. There are familial reasons, the way they were raised. There are internal reasons, the way that they may be wired. There are a lot of reasons for that. There's also moral reasons for that as well. Christians tend to extremes on this issue. On the one hand, some people think that if you just condemn homosexuality and lesbianism and transsexualism, everything, all that, then God will just be happy with you. That's all you have to do is just say it's bad and tell them they're going to hell and you'll be okay. The problem with this is that that's not a helpful approach, just to tell people that they're going to hell. You have to offer people hope as well. You have to have some sort of a sense of understanding in this thing as well. And I think that's where a lot of Christians have really sort of missed the boat here. We have to understand that we live in a world, in a time, and in a culture where humanity is falling apart. Western civilization is disintegrating before our very eyes. Intellectually, we don't even think right anymore. Think of the idiotic things that people are saying and others are believing them. We are disintegrating emotionally, and we are disintegrating morally. We can't handle anything emotionally anymore. Everyone's defended. And morally, anything goes. And so humanity is sinful. It's dead. It's shattered psychologically. Sin affects the mind. That's why we think the crazy things that we do about ourselves. And no longer does our culture back up what the Bible says about what is right and wrong, and what is even just common sense, logic, scientific, and sound. You know, they used to point to Christians and say, you're unscientific because you don't accept science. And now Christians are pointing to the world saying, you're not scientific. You don't accept science about basic biology down to the molecular level and down to the chromosomal level about what is a man, what is a woman. Who's not scientific now? So the world is just, it's losing its mind. It's losing all sense of its reason because it can't even think straight anymore. But we can't just go out there and just, you know, throw grenades of condemnation at people. On the other hand, some Christians wrestle with accepting the Bible's denunciation of homosexuality and of all these sexual perversions and ways of thinking. They wrestle with that because they have so many, quote unquote, really nice gay friends, unquote. Well, guess what? I have some really nice gay friends too. I love them very, very dearly. They're wonderful people. But they're gay, and God condemns homosexuality. So here's the deal. In fact, you know, there was this famous singer, Christian singer. She just the darling of Christian worship, took the world by storm. You know, started winning all these awards and stuff, and has one of the most amazing voices ever. And she was on a national radio show, and when they asked her about homosexuality, you know, her response was, well, I really can't say because I have so many nice gay friends. You know, I don't really know about it myself. You don't know about it. You don't know the difference between male and female and what's sexually acceptable and designed by God. And you're a Christian worship leader type thing. I mean, what's going on with that, right? There are a lot of Christians who are like that. So they just simply won't say anything about it. Now, here's the good news about that. I will say this. The good news about that is that Christians do have friendships and relationships with homosexuals. And I think we should always continue, as much as we are allowed to cultivate those type of relationships, because otherwise, how in the world are people going to know and feel the love of Christ unless we, and the truth of Christ, unless we have relationships with them? So the extremes are just out and out condemn them or just out and out accept them. And that neither one of them are biblical, totally. We have to understand that we're living in this morally decayed world, and moral boundaries are being moved all the time. And also, here's the third aspect of this, is that many, many genuine Christians struggle with their sexual identity, not just sexual sins from a heterosexual standpoint, which that's obviously true, But also people, Christians that I know, they struggle with their sexuality concerning homosexuality and lesbianism. They're tilted one way or the other. And the fallacy, though, here's the thing we need to understand. Just because something is natural for you to be attracted to doesn't mean that it's a morally just position or path to take. You know, there are a lot of natural inclinations that I have or that you have that are certainly not biblical or godly. But why should we, just because they are a natural inclination, all of a sudden say, well, I guess that's what I'm supposed to do. I guess that's what I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to embrace that, not only pursue that and participate in that, but call it my very identity. If we did that as Christians, we would go against everything the Bible says about who we are in Christ. So we can't just run after sins and just because they're natural, because all sins are natural to us, right? Now, we, as Christians, we have a dual nature now, and we have, you know, the Holy Spirit in us fighting against that, and we have the sin nature that we're to put to death. But at the same time, we can't just say, well, if my flesh feels it, if the natural bent of mine, if I think about it a lot, then I guess that's what I'm supposed to do. But at the same time, many Christians do struggle with various types of sins, and that causes us to sometimes to impede our spiritual growth because we don't focus in on how to daily battle some of those natural temptations that we might have in life. And so you say, well, Jeff, what are we supposed to do? What are Christians supposed to do about this rising epidemic of, it's not just the people themselves that are transgendered, it's society and culture, to where now you can be fined up to $250,000 in New York City for not calling someone by their preferred pronoun. I mean, the level of ignorance and of moronic thought that gets to is, it's beyond description. So I'm struggling with words here. It's beyond description that because a person says, well, I identify as the Lord of the universe, so that's what you have to call me. I identify as a millionaire at the bank, so you have to put money in my bank or in my bank account. You know, I identify as a man with 10 wives, so therefore you have to legitimize that. It's whatever you think you are, you are. No, it's a thought. It's not a reality. It's a thought. When thoughts are based on reality, we call that truth. When thoughts are not based on reality, we call that imagination. And depending on what the thought is and how far it goes, it borders on lunacy. So you're living in this world. How do we respond to what's going on there? Well, the first thing is to realize that it's not going to get better, culturally speaking. It's going to get worse. And we know that from Scripture, what the Bible has told us about the last days, the prophecies that I just read in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We know that Jesus said it's going to be as the days of Noah leading up to his return. It's going to get worse. Second thing is, we're going to see more and more of this creeping into the church. And in the name of love and compassion, we're going to see churches weaken their stance on homosexuality. And that's a part of the apostasy that Paul predicted would happen in the last days in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There's going to be a great apostasy, and men are already falling away from the faith. We see that in Timothy, 1 Timothy 4 and 2 Timothy 3. So we see this already happening, and the church is really going to have to man up. You know, to use a sexist language here, the church is going to really have to grow up and to be able to speak the truth about this to our culture without apology. And too many Christians and the church today, too many prominent Christians are on this apology tour about apologizing about how bad the church is. And we don't ever apologize for the truth. We apologize when we've mistreated someone unjustly according to Scripture, but we do not apologize for the truth. So it's going to get worse in culture. It's going to get worse in the church. And Christians, the third thing is that Christians are going to be marginalized even more. You're going to be hated because you take the stand that Jesus, that Moses, and that the Scripture takes. Don't think if you're just nice to transgendered people, but you remain firm in your belief about what the Bible says, that they're just going to embrace you. They're just going to have this epiphany of maturity and emotional stability, and all of a sudden be able to say, well, Christians are awesome, man. I love Christians. They hold to their truth. They believe strong. They stand up for what they believe in, but they still believe I'm going to hell. But I love them. They're awesome. You're not going to see that from the trans community, from the LGBT community. That'd be great if they did. But Jesus said in John 15, if they hated me, the most loving person in the world, who also told sinners the truth, they're going to hate you too. You think you're greater than me, Jesus says? No, no, no. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. So you're going to feel that hatred in our world more and more and more. You know what that means for you? It means you have to be more and more loving, and yet be more and more committed to the truth. Those are the two things. And I'll say this too, and I said this earlier, it's a beautiful thing when we can have friendships with, I mean, it doesn't have to be the trans people, anybody. It's the guy at work that, you know, cusses and swears all the time, you know, smokes pot after work or whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter. As long as we are penetrating society and being intentional about being the best friends and the best people that we can be to folks, that's all we can do. The rest is on them. If you're loving and truthful to a homosexual or to someone who's going through this whole trans kind of thing, then, and they don't accept that, it's on them. It's not on you. You've done everything in the power of the Holy Spirit you know to do. And here's the other thing. You're not going to argue people out of their identity. All right? You're not just going to present a list of facts and they're going to go, what was I thinking? Duh, you know, take this dress off and let's not just, you know, not schedule that surgery. I'm going to go back to being a man now. That's not how it works. The only thing that can change them is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said in John 6:44, no man can come to me unless the Father draws him. You are dependent upon the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to change their mind, to change their way of thinking about God, first of all, and themselves and what they are before him. And then based on that and their entrance into salvation with Christ, that's when they can begin their journey to understanding who God really made them to be and who they can be in him. And I want to tell you something. I've known people that have come out of homosexuality. I've read stories of people that have come out of the whole transgender thing. They've transitioned back to the lifestyle and the gender to which God had originally assigned them, given to them as a gift for them to enjoy, and they're living productive, fruitful lives in Christ. And you know, everyone who wants God, who wants help, who wants to understand who they really are, they can have that. And so we need to use wisdom. And we need to build relationships where it is appropriate and where we are able to these people, and to let them know that, you know, there's no hate. There's zero, absolute zero. And if there is hate, you're in sin. So we don't hate anyone. But when a mind doesn't have the truth of Christ, when there's a darkened mind, when there's a futilely speculative mind, like the Bible says you have without Christ, you read disagreement as hate. You read, if I condemn what you're doing, if you're a heroin user and I condemn your heroin use, you think I hate you. That's the delusion that the addict has. And the delusion that someone has who's undergoing this whole trans mindset is that if you disagree with them and tell them that they're wrong, that you in essence hate them. And nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, it's just the opposite. That truth is a life preserver. That truth is the cure for cancer for you. That truth is a way of saving you from not only self-destruction, but eternal damnation. Because unless you come to Christ, you're never going to understand who God originally made you to be. And to find your purpose in life, to find, you know, what God has for you in life, wow, that can really happen. But it can only happen if a person is willing to believe what God says. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, you know, he was questioned and Jesus was confronted with so many different things. But in Matthew chapter 19, this is what he says. He's talking about divorce. And in there he says, verse 4, he says, he answered, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning, made them male and female. You see, Jesus affirmed the strict boundaries, the biological boundaries that God had used when he created out of clay, out of dirt, Adam, and out of a rib, Eve. He made them male and female. And when we find our identity in that and our identity in Christ, we can discover who we're really meant to be. There's hope for the world, my friend, but it only comes through Jesus and his word. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.